There's a little song we sing in Sunday school called "The Wise Man Built His House Upon a Rock." Well, it stood firm, but the foolish man built his house on the sand. It went splat. So we need to build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that rock. So you guys sing a song called "My Rock."
My rock, my rock, my shield, my Jesus, He is real. I can feel Him deep within my soul.
To hear kids who like to sing. Amen. That's good. I enjoyed that. I've been a blessing when I've been in these meetings with them in Illinois and Arkansas, and so I wanted to bring them up here and let you folks hear them because that's a good, good family. I'd like to see, I hear them sing. Wonderful. Corinthians chapter 8 in your New Testament this morning. And while you're finding that place, Brother Crump, I'm going to ask you and the family to come back on up and be ready. We're going to have scripture reading and prayer, and then you can sing right before the message. Whoever's singing this song. And you find your place, church, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to read four verses as our text today and get right into the message as soon as we hear one more special song. Let's stand together, please, in honor of this wonderful book, God's great book. And we will pick up on that subject. We looked at the credibility of the Scriptures. We looked at the inspiration of the Scriptures. We want to talk about the preservation of the Scriptures. And we'll get back on that topic in a while. But give us a little grace here and patience as we go through this month of December, a very important month for our church. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Please join me on verse 2, and then we're going to read verses 8 and 9. And if you would, please join me on verse 9. So 1 and 2 and 8 and 9, if you'd join me on 2 and 9. Paul wrote, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." Now, verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." My Father, I thank you for your portion, this portion of your word. And thank you, oh God, that we can have a copy of it. And in fact, a lot of us have several copies of it. We got them in our homes and in our offices and our bedrooms and in some cases in our cars. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. I pray that you'll honor it today. God, bless our meeting today. Speak to our hearts and help us as a church, please, to follow you and be obedient. Now bless Brother Crumpton and his family as they sing, and the message to follow is our prayer in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you, BC.
Isaac walked up the mountain, his father by
Song well done this morning. Now I'm going to ask our visitors please to bear with me and be patient with our church this morning, and we're about to step into a very important project as far as our building needs go. I must address this issue for a couple of weeks, and so visitors, God bless you. I'm glad that you're here. We certainly don't make money an issue. In other words, as far as getting people for money purposes, we've never made that an issue. We've just gotten whoever is willing to come, come. Amen. And but I must deal with this subject for the next couple of weeks. And I don't apologize for doing that. As long as the cause of Christ in this church is alive, it's going to cost money. There's a way for this place not to cost us any money, and that's just to let it die. And it'll cost us more than in monetary ways. It'll cost us some of those blessings that Brother Crumpton was talking about in Sunday school. So bear with me. I want to speak for a little while this morning, and I know we're a few minutes later than we normally would be getting into the message. I'll take that into consideration, and I'll move right along. So you listen carefully. I want to speak on the subject, the example of special giving. The example of special giving. Dear Father, bless this message now. Bless our church. And Lord, I just pray for thy will to be done. And Lord, I know, as they just sang, that you will provide. But Lord, you're going to provide through your people. And I pray that you'll provide through us as we step into this project. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. It's time for us to prepare for our next building project. Many of you have seen the picture of the project that we would like to accomplish across the parking lot here. The picture's right there in the foyer. What we are attempting to do over there, folks, is not a luxury item for this ministry. It is something desperately needed. Now, that's a beautiful building. And depending on the money that's committed, we may not be able to, or we may be able to, go with the brick and the stone. We may have to use something cheaper than brick and stone, but something that will still look plenty nice. It's not a luxury item. It's something that we desperately need as a church right now. We are out of classroom space for our children's Sunday school, our adult Bible classes. We are paying Olivet Nazarene University $50 every Sunday to have our mentally handicapped class meet over there on their property because we have no room over here for them to meet in. Our offices, many of them, a couple of them, are being used as Sunday school classes. The library is used as a Sunday school class. School rooms in a couple of cases are to the maximum as far as kids go in the school, and that's not taking any outside students. That's just members here of our church. Folks, simply put, it's time to move forward. I thought about it. We've looked at it. We use the classrooms as many as 3 and 4 times on Sunday. We've looked at other ways to get around it. I don't know of any other way to do it but just to move forward. Now, it's costly. The building is not cheap. It'll be somewhere, the payment will be somewhere in the $11,000 to $12,000 a month range. Now, we have been averaging a little over $7,500 a month this year paying on this building, which, by the way, is only now about $80,000 left on this building right here. And so we thank God for that. That's $5,000 out of the general fund. That's $500 a week from the school. And then that's another about $2,000 a month from the Vision Unlimited giving. The building fund giving has been averaging just under $500 a month. So if you do the math, not hard to do, we need to raise between $1,000 and $1,500 a week over what we're already giving to move on with this project. Now, before you have a heart attack, that's not as much as this church gives every week to Faith Promise Missions. We give over that amount to Faith Promise Missions right now. But we need, simply put, we need to raise between $1,000 and $1,500 a week. Some in this room, some in this membership here, have been giving to the building fund since 1995. June of 1995 is when we took our first building fund commitments for this building. And they've been giving that building fund ever since. And some did it for 3 years and stopped for 2 and started again for 3 and stopped. Some did it for 8. Some did it for 10. Some have done it for all 11 years. Now, those that are not involved need to jump in, and we need to take the next step. And I'm excited about it, folks. I'm not excited about the process of the building because I remember from before it's an extra load with everything else that we have going on. It's an extra load. But I am excited about the building. I'm excited for our church. It's the perfect time as far as I can see, humanly speaking, from myself being the pastor here, and I hope God doesn't take me home soon, and I hope that you don't send me away on my way soon. It's the perfect time because if we had about 15 years to pay for it, then I could have somebody in here someday to be ready to take this thing over, possibly somebody with your approval. I'm not talking about retiring in 15 years. I'm talking about down the road. But I don't want to just bring somebody here at the last second and turn the church over. I'd like to turn it over to them in good shape doctrinally. I'd like to turn it over in good shape spirit-wise. I'd like to turn it over to them in good shape financially someday. And we could go ahead with this project, and we could have it paid for and be ready for the next thing to happen. So I'm excited about what it means for our school. I'm excited about what it means for our kids. I'm excited to see what God will do to help us. I won't take the time this morning. You know, last time when we built this building, we saw God do big things and we saw God do small things to bring this to reality. You remember the industrial electrical company that one of our men works for because of his testimony and because of another man who's since gone to heaven. Because of those two men's testimonies at that place of business, they donated between $45,000 and $55,000 worth of electrical equipment to this project. We didn't pay one dime for that. We didn't pay one dime for our panels, electrical panels. We didn't pay one dime for the fans. It was all donated to our church because of good men who had a good testimony at work. We had somebody step in and buy these pews. At first, we were not going to put pews under the balcony. And the brother committed so much money for the pews. We were going to put pews in the front, and we were going to put the pulpit furniture up here. But we checked in, and I'm so glad we put pews under that balcony back there. I'm so glad we didn't put chairs back there. And when we decided to go all the way to the back with the pews, it ate up all the money, and then a little bit that was donated. But most of these pews were paid for with one donation. We saw God do big things, and we saw God do small things. We saw kids give their stuffed animals that they so dearly love, amen, to be sold for a quarter and 50 cents so that we could put it in the building fund. And I don't take that lightly, and I don't think God takes that lightly. It was an entire church project. We all went forward on it together. We saw God do miraculous things. Now, in order to build a building, there has to be special giving above the norm. When I say $1,000 to $1,500 a week, raise that. I'm not talking about taking some from missions. I'm not talking about taking some from the general fund. I'm talking about on top of what we're already doing. All right? There has to be special giving to build a building. Now, this is the pattern all throughout the Bible. I was going to take you to these passages. But if you want to scribble them down, you can look at them. Take my word for it. Exodus 35, when they built the tabernacle, the people offered willingly, the Bible says. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, when they built the first temple, the people offered willingly. In Ezra chapter 2, when they rebuilt the temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians, the people offered willingly. All three times, the people offered freely, the Bible says, and willingly, and money was given to build. So giving money in a special commitment over and above is a biblical pattern. And in order to build a building, you must have special giving that goes beyond the normal. Do we have any pattern of special giving in the New Testament? Yes, we do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul deals with special giving that goes beyond the normal tithe and offering and missions and so forth. Really, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, even though people preach missions messages from it, it really has nothing to do with a missionary offering. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul is challenging the church at Corinth to follow through on a commitment they made concerning a special offering. What was the special offering for? It was for poor Jewish believers who were living in poverty in Jerusalem. And the church at Corinth, a local church like this church, said, we want to take part in that offering. We want to give above and beyond what we're normally giving for the purpose of helping those poor Jewish believers living in poverty. So when you go to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you've got a text here that concerns special giving. Things can be applied to our project. Look at verse number 8. We read it together just a few minutes ago. Paul said, I speak not by commandment. Now, you've got to understand that when we talk about special giving, I can't give you a command. That's what Paul said to these people. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I cannot take you to a chapter and verse in the Word of God that says, thou shalt give to the special giving need. Paul said, I can't do that. I can't take you to any chapter and verse that says, thou shalt give to the poor saints. So he was saying, I can't speak by commandment here. I can't take you to a command of God. But I'm going to tell you what else he was saying. He was also saying that he, as their kind of overseer, had no personal authority over their possessions or over their money. Paul said, I don't have any authority over your money. I don't have any authority over your possessions. So he said, I speak not by commandment. He said, this offering is not commanded in the Bible, and I have no authority to command you to give. So what you give is the result of a willing heart, a willing mind, a willingness to participate. And that goes right along with all of those offerings in the Old Testament for the tabernacle and the temple. The Bible said they were willing offerings. They were free offerings. The people gave freely. They gave willingly. I have no Bible commandment this morning that says thou shalt give to the building fund. I can't take you to any chapter and verse and say, folks, I've got to hang this over your head this morning, but God said thou shalt give to the building fund. I don't have a verse that says that. neither do I have any personal authority over your money or over your possessions. You say, how does something like that project get done, Pastor Angel? Willing hearts, willing minds, willingness, God's people willingly saying, I'm going to take part in a special offering. That's how it gets done. If it doesn't happen like that, it doesn't get done. All right, it doesn't happen. You say, well, nobody will want to do that. Nobody wants to give more than what they're given. We're sitting in a building today that is largely the result of people who were willing to give some years ago. Back in 1995, through the time that we started breaking ground in the year 2000, God's people gave willingly. And by the way, the people who were here then gave for 5 or 6 years without ever seeing any dirt fly. We never saw dirt move. We gave 5 years, week after week after week after week after week after week, and never saw anything, crammed in a little auditorium that was just stuffed to the gills. But people gave, and people gave with a willing heart and a willing mind and a willingness. And that's exactly, if that building becomes a reality across the parking lot, that's how it will happen again, folks. It'll happen that way again, although we don't have 5 years to wait this time like we did last time. Now, Paul could not place them under the accountability of a commandment. He could not say, thou shalt give to the building fund. He couldn't do that. Neither can I. I can't say that. But see what he did? He could encourage them with the example of others. And that's what he did in verse number 8. Look at it. Look at your Bible. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others. Paul said, I don't have any chapter and verse to give you. I have no Bible command, but I want to challenge you according to the example of the forwardness of others. You know what that word forwardness means? It means eagerness. It means earnestness. There's a diligence there. The actual root word means to speed. He said, I can encourage you and challenge you that many others have speedily responded to the need for special giving. He had no commandment, but he could show them what people were doing in other places. Kind of reminds me about the old rooster that went out for a walk one morning, and he kind of got out beyond the normal confines of his walk, and he came upon an ostrich egg. And he took his beak and he nosed that ostrich egg all the way back into the chicken house. And he called all of the hens together. And he said, ladies, I don't mean to be complaining, but I just want to show you what they're doing in other places. Amen. That's kind of what Paul was saying here. He was saying, I'm not going to complain. I bet those hens had a heart attack right there. Amen. Ooh, that would hurt. Amen. That will hurt. So he's saying, you know, I don't have a commandment, but I do have the example of other people, other believers in other churches. One of his examples was the churches of Macedonia. Look at verse number 1. That's what we read to begin with, the churches of Macedonia. He said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. You see, Corinth is in the church he's writing to here, Corinthian church, that's located in Achaia. That's a neighboring country to Macedonia, kind of like Illinois is neighbor to Iowa. Illinois is neighbor to Indiana. He said, I want you to know about these churches over here in Indiana. I want you to know about these churches over here in Iowa, is what he's saying to Corinth. He's saying, man, those churches, these folks have given for this cause of the poor saints at Jerusalem. Now, I can tell you folks this morning, listen very carefully, there are many people who rallied to give offerings the last 11 and a half years for this building. Many. And I'm talking about this building. I hate to start singling out people who gave gifts. And because, you know, you're going to leave somebody out. But I will not forget the day in the old auditorium, in the old office. I was downstairs in the old office. And during a weekday, somebody brought Mickey Camp by here. Mickey's sitting right back there this morning. And with that walker bent over double because of his cerebral palsy, you know how long it takes Mickey to get from one place to another. He came in to the office down there, and he had an envelope, and there was a large, sizable check in that envelope for this building. For a man like Mickey. And that story could be repeated over and over and over and over again. There were people who rallied to the need for this auditorium. And you see, folks, there are people who do believe in the ministry of this church. And I'm not talking about people on the outside. I appreciate Brother Crumpton's comments. I appreciate Brother Wynn's comments on Wednesday night. I appreciate other people coming in and saying, oh, nice things about the church. Don't ever get flattered by that. Because there's always room for improvement. Don't ever get flattered by it. I appreciate what people think on the outside, but I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate what people on the inside think. And I appreciate how people on the inside feel. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about our people. I'm talking about the people here. We cannot expect Bourbon A to put this building up for us. We can't expect the state of Illinois. They don't have any money. The state of Illinois is not going to put that building up for us. Of course, they got money for a raise. Amen, you know. But we can't expect some corporation like ComEd or Microsoft to build us a building. And yes, I've had all the thoughts that everybody else has. I think I'm going to sit down and write Bill Gates a letter. Yeah, okay, go ahead. You're going to say, will it work? I have not. No, I don't think it'll work. God's not going to use Bill Gates to build that building. God's going to use us. That's what he did to you to build this building. God used us, the people of Faith Baptist Church. Now, the money has to come from us, from people who have an interest in this place. The offering that the people in this church at Corinth gave, even in Macedonia, it wasn't the church of Macedonia that gave this offering for these poor saints. It wasn't even for them directly. They didn't see any direct benefit from that offering. It was for food and clothing for the poor saints who were in Jerusalem. At least we'll get to give to something that we'll benefit from. Every day almost. School and Sunday school and Sunday and so forth. So Paul uses the other churches to challenge Corinth. He uses the churches of Macedonia. He says, Corinthian people, he said, other folks have done it. And I want to say to all of us here this morning, we've done this in the past. And to all you folks who've come to us since we got into this building, God used the church in the past to take care of this need. And I'm convinced God has assembled the right people to take care of the need across the parking lot too. So we got to know that. Number two, there's another example Paul uses. He uses the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 9. I love this verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Paul said, don't forget that Jesus gave so that you and I could be rich. Brother, we're rich, huh? Saved people are rich. We're rich in mercy. We're rich in grace. We're rich in fellowship. We're rich in our eternal destiny. We're rich in our spiritual family. We're rich in God's goodness. We are rich this morning. The reason we are is because he became poor. Huh? How did we get rich in these areas? Because Jesus gave. He gave himself. He left heaven to come to this old earth. In fact, his giving of him, you think about it, because of his gift, because of, we were stuck in the rags of our sin. I like that word rags. Because that's how we were. Spiritually. Rags. Until Jesus came. And because he came, we can exchange the rags of our sin for the robe of his righteousness. Amen. Now that's a gift of God right there. That's a gift of God, friend. And I want to tell you what, now you look here. So you got Jesus Christ leaving heaven and coming to this earth. And Paul says, don't forget the gift of Christ. And he said, by the way, don't forget over here in Macedonia, these churches are given to this same project. So he uses other people as an example, and he reminds them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think for a minute here about these two examples. Look at them now. The churches of Macedonia and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you've got? You've got two extremes, if you will, on the financial spectrum. The churches of Macedonia, the Bible says, were in deep, what? Poverty. Jesus Christ was rich. The Bible says he was rich. In heaven, he was rich. So you have two extremes. On both ends of the financial spectrum, you've got people who were living in deep poverty. And then you've got Jesus Christ, who is rich. Now don't miss this, because this thing is key right here. The churches of Macedonia didn't sit out because they were poor. You hear what I said? They didn't say, we can't participate because we don't have much. And Jesus didn't just tip off the top. Both of them. The churches of Macedonia were tight. Tight financially. And in order to give, they tightened the belt another notch. They didn't sit out because they were poor. They just say, we don't have anything to give. They tightened up another notch so they could give. Jesus Christ was rich, but he willingly placed himself in poverty so that we could be rich. This thing shut out. Okay. I don't know what happened, but it's done. Low battery, it says. We need a new battery. Okay, I'll just use this. So the churches in Macedonia didn't say, well, you know, we're poor. We live week to week. We can't give. And Jesus Christ and all of his wealth didn't just tip off the top. Both gave. Now listen very carefully. I'm not asking anybody in this church to go into debt to give to the building. Never do right by doing wrong. I'm not asking you to go backwards because of the building. Nor am I asking people who have a significant income to place themselves at poverty level. I'll tell you what we need. We need everybody to give. We need those who are tight to do all you can to tighten up a little bit more. What could you do without? What you could do less with? What could you sacrifice here? What could you give up here? And we need those who are not tight. You're living with a decent income. Don't just tip off the top with a $20 weekly gift. Yeah, I'll give $20. You can sacrifice some as well. We need people on this end of the financial spectrum. And by the way, I wouldn't want to pastor a church that didn't have the whole spectrum. We need people at that end of the spectrum, and we need people at this end of the spectrum. And I'll tell you something, God has given us that. God has given us the whole spectrum here. Now what needs to happen is for everybody on this line to find your place of giving. Find your place of sacrifice. Those that are tight and living week to week, you can't not participate by just saying, you know what, I can't. They gave out of their deep poverty. They found a way to give something. And then Jesus Christ, who was rich, he was willing to become poor. Again, I'm not asking anybody to become poverty-stricken. I'm just simply saying, in this big spectrum, folks, we have a large enough church. We can take this thing on with God's help. We can move forward here. And it's dangerous if we don't. It's dangerous, again, like I said a few weeks ago, if there is not some measure of faith in a church this size, has to maintain a measure of faith in everything we do here. It can't always be about what the bottom line is. We need to raise the money. December 17th, we pushed it ahead a week because I was gone last week. I want to give some attention to it. So on December 17th, we need to take building commitments. I have no commandment. I have no pastoral authority or personal authority to say to you that you have to do this. I do have the example of other people in this church and other places who have put buildings up, who willingly gave to the special need. And I do have the example of Jesus Christ, who gave everything. And so I say to each and every one of us, where is our place? Where is our place in this matter? Where is my place in this matter? Now, Paul had no commandment, but he had the example of others. You know what else Paul also told them? And I'm almost done. He told them that their giving would prove the sincerity of their love. You see the end of verse number 8? To prove the sincerity of your love. You know, look at me. Nothing shows the sincerity of your love like giving does. You've heard me say it before at missions conference time. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can throw the boy. You can throw a dollar in the pot for the Salvation Army at Christmas time, but don't tell me you love that. Or you love the cause. Just throw a dollar in the pot because you feel like it's your obligation. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. When your heart, when you love someone, when you love somebody, brother, that giving is the proof of that love. You know, look at me. We have folks here. We have folks. I'll guarantee you. I have been told You know, the only reason we are here is because, you know, the school, our kids enjoy the school, or because we can't get to some other place. That's the only reason. I'll promise you, you take that person, you take those people, and you look up their giving records, their giving will reflect that the only reason they're here is because of the school or because of some other benefit. Their giving will reflect that, I promise you. Maybe not the tithe, but the stuff that goes beyond the tithe, which is missions and special offerings. That goes beyond the tithe. See? But there's a lot of people here who are here because they want to be. I'm going to tell you what puts pressure on the pastor. Anonymous letters do not put pressure on me because I don't read them. But I'll tell you what puts pressure. When men who are advancing in their career turn down the opportunity for the next step and sometimes significant financial gain to keep their family here, that puts pressure on the pastor. The money part is not a pressure. What's pressure is my goodness. I want these services. I want the messages. I want the music. I want the fellowship. I want the standards. I want the soul winning. I want it to be right. Men are turning down opportunities in other places to make thousands of dollars more to keep their kids here and to keep their family here. That's pressure. Big time pressure. So there are people here who want to be. I promise you their giving reflects it. If you could go to the tithe records, the giving records, good night. Yeah, you'd see that. You'd see real quickly the people whose hearts are here. To prove, Paul said, the sincerity of your love. That in these chapters you have the example of special giving. A building like that does not go up with just the normal giving. It takes God's people taking a step into a new arena. It takes a good commitment. It takes people praying and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? It takes everybody from this end to this end being a part together. And by faith, and with God's provision, like they sang, we can move forward. And we'll have the building. It won't be for our own personal glory. Look what we did. It'll be another tool. Huh? Which is exactly what we said this thing would be. I don't know if you've stopped to look around lately, but we could not get this crowd in that old auditorium. Okay? It'd be mighty packed in there. God's doing some good things for us. You know, sending out missionary families. That's an honor. It's a blessing. We've waited, we've made do, we've doubled up and tripled up, we've crammed into classes, but church, it's time to move forward. We need you. We need all of us to be a part of this thing. And I hope that you'll be praying, asking God, what would you have me to do as the time approaches? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. Thank you for listening this morning. Let me ask a few questions. I didn't preach on the subject of salvation, obviously, this morning, other than to mention that Jesus came from heaven to earth to provide free salvation. Because He did, we are free. I wonder this morning if you're still clothed in the rags of your sin. I wonder if you've never been saved, born into God's family. Listen carefully. Who would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. If you're saved and know it, would you raise your hand this morning? Would you please be honest about it? Thank you so much. God bless you. Take your hand down. Is there one here this morning, Pastor Angel? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know where I would go if I died right now. Anybody like that today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. From front to back and side to side, Pastor Angel, I'm not saved, or at least I don't know if I'm saved. All right. Is there some here today, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved? Not follow the Lord and believers' baptism yet. Saved but not been baptized, pray for me. Anybody like that here tonight, this morning, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here tomorrow, side to side, front to back? to a small child. God bless you. If you've been saved and not baptized, you need to talk to Brother Caleb or one of these folks about it. We'll be happy to do that for you and talk with you about it. Of course, if you've been visiting here, you know this is the place God wants you to join. You're always welcome to come if you've talked with Brother Caleb or myself about that. But folks, it's time to move forward. We need to take a commitment on the 17th. We're working right now. We met yesterday afternoon. Thank God for the men that God has put in this church. Thank God that He brought Dennis Carlson to this church, who knows so much about this matter of building. But it's time. We're going to have to give them an answer in a few weeks. We're not going to vote with our hands. We're going to vote with our pocketbooks. We need to move forward. I believe God has this church ready and positioned by faith to do it. The way they did it in the Bible was a willing heart, a willing mind, a willingness to say, I'll do my part. From the poverty-stricken in Macedonia to Jesus Christ, the wealthiest of all. May God help us to do our part. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand saying, Pastor, I'm for you, I'm for the project. I'm not going to ask for that. I don't need a rally. We don't need a pep rally. What I would like to know is that you're praying about it. What I would like to know is that you're taking it seriously. Brother Angel, I'll join you in praying. I'll join you in praying. I don't know what God wants me to do yet, but I'll join you in praying for this project, for God's will in my life, my family. I will join you in praying about it. Would you lift a hand this morning all over the room? God bless you. I appreciate that. That's kind. The altar's always open after any service if you need to use it. Dear Father, I don't know what else to do to come to your church, your people, try to transmit the burden. You covered everything in your book for us. You gave us principles, truths about special giving in these two great chapters. Help us, please, as a church to do what we need to do. God, empower us and bless us. And as they sang, we know that you'll provide. Help us individually as families, Lord, as a people to do our part. In Jesus' name is my prayer made. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, place a song of invitation. The altar is open for anybody who needs to be saved or baptized. If you want to just come and pray this morning for a moment, we'll take just a little time to do that while we wait. Ushers, if you would, please prepare for the final offering. Come with family, please. I appreciate that. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, church. Be seated, please, just for a moment. By the way, I do not take this, what we've already got here, for granted. I walk in here, and I thank God often for this beautiful auditorium. God has really blessed us, what He's done for us in the past, and I know He will again in the future.